This is going to be a little different this morning. I'm going to be rambling. And my best advice to you, Bonnie called me and asked me, what is the title to this message? And I said, there is none. Well, what is the text? There is none. My best advice to you to listen to this message is I'm going to be laying down some good things along the path. And when you find one, you pick it up. And when we get to the end, maybe it will make sense. But if not, you still have a bunch of good things. You've heard of after Christmas sales, 70% off. Well, this is one of those 70% after Christmas messages. Okay. Well, just to set the stage, I want to look at a few scriptures in Genesis chapter 2. I'll read a couple of few verses. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden, flowing from Eden, dropping there, it was separated into four headwaters. And then dropping down to verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them or name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, for she was taken out of man. I actually thought that the kids would be here this morning. And so I kind of geared this message to kids. But if you try hard, I think you'll get it too. Okay. I want you to put on your imagination caps. Anybody here have an imagination that works really good? I'm kind of an imaginative creature. So this morning, put on your imagination, wiggle your head around, whatever you have to do to relax, and go with me. We'll board this aircraft, and we are going to fly back through time to the Garden of Eden. Now, the bad news is there are no landing strips in the Garden of Eden. So hook up to the rail. When the door opens, the light comes on, out you go. Ready? Here we go. We are in the Garden of Eden. Good landing. What do we see there? What do you see? And I'm going to ask you questions, but don't answer them out loud, please. You'll throw me way off track. What do you see when you land in the Garden of Eden? Well, the weather is great. You think Florida's nice, Jerry? Eden is better. You didn't bring your sunscreen, don't need it. You'll not get a sunburn. Are you hungry? There's food all over. It's on the trees, it's in bushes. It's all over. If you get thirsty, there's a river flowing right beside you. Look at it. It's clear as crystal. You can drink from it all you desire. Getting hungry? What's the fruit way up in the tree? I think Adam and Eve ate all the lower fruit. How are we going to get the fruit from that tree? Because I want that fruit. Well, there's a giraffe. And we just motion, he comes over, we sit on his head, and up we go. We knock down a bunch of fruit for everybody. Boy, it's great, isn't it? But there comes a lion. And the lion, my first thought is to be terrified, but the lion just comes up and you pet it like a kitty, a big, very bad kitty. There are no snakes to bite, there's no insects to bite, you don't need mosquito repellent, there are no ticks. If there are, they aren't interested in you. What a great place to live. And now let's find Adam and Eve. There they are. Let's go talk to Adam and Eve and see what it's like to live in the Garden of Eden. And they would tell you, I would think, that it is glorious every time they have a question about something. They can just ask God and he will give them the answer. He will help them to discern how to figure it out. Every day they worship. They see something new that he has created and they worship. And when his presence is near, there's just something about the presence of God. And it's glorious. But you know the story. You know that sin entered the garden and Adam and Eve fell. And God ejected them from the garden. Before the fall, God's words to Adam and Eve were so gracious and so loving. There was no condemnation whatever. There's no such thing as judgment. But now after the fall, there's judgment, and it begins. They are kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and they no more can go into it. Adam hears the words that he's going to die. From dust you came, and from dust you're going back. And the ground was cursed because of Adam. Yeah, because of his sin, now the crops didn't just grow. There's going to be floods, there'll be droughts, there'll be thorns and briars and weeds. And he'll have to earn a living by the sweat of his brow. And Eve and all of womankind would experience painful and difficult childbirth. But in the midst of this judgment, God promised a Savior. Said someday he would send a Redeemer. And so he made clothes from animals and shed blood. And that's a type to cover the bodies of Adam and Eve. And so years later, much later, God instituted a series of animal sacrifices and blood was shed because of the sins of the people, but that blood had to be offered year after year after year after year because the writer of Hebrews declares it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Abraham testified when he was asked to offer Isaac, he testified that God himself would provide the sacrifice. And so Israel looked for a Messiah, They waited patiently and sometimes maybe impatiently. They looked for a Messiah. They thought it would be a political figure, but he was a spiritual figure. They thought that he would deal with their political problems and needs, but he was dealing with their most important need, their spiritual need. Because somehow sin had to be atoned for. And so we've just come through this Christmas season, and we've heard about the babe in the manger, and that's all warm and glorious feelings, and hark, the herald angels sing. And there's good news, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. But the rest of the story is that babe grew up and was lifted up on a cross and shed his blood. The just for the unjust. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He shed his blood for our redemption. And now the message goes out to the whole world. Whosoever will, let him come. In fact, the last book in the scriptures, Revelation, closes with an invitation to come. Everyone come, drink freely of the river of water of life. Salvation is a special thing. It's an important thing. We recognize that we are sin. The scriptures teach that everyone born in the human race, of human means, is born in sin and needs a Savior. And when we recognize that need of forgiveness, of salvation, we repent of sin. And by faith accept what God has offered as free forgiveness for sin. But it's a choice. We must repent. So now that brings us to kind of the mid-text of this message, or rambling. And it's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. I'm going to say it again because it didn't last very long. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Now, you did not know, but freedom is my favorite word in all of the English language. Freedom. I like to say it. I like how it sounds. I like how it means. I Googled it. It said something like the power to act and speak and think as one wants without hindrance or compulsion. Freedom. Glorious word. So Jesus came to set us free. It is for freedom that you've been set free. And we're going to take some, by the way, I have a second favorite word in the English language. But I'm not going to share that. I don't want to overwhelm you here, but I have two favorite words. We're going to take some big steps here. We want to get through this. What did Jesus set us free from? Those who know Christ as Lord and Savior, what did he set us free from? Well, number one, and possibly the most important, I don't know, he set us free from the penalty of sin. The scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, or spiritual death. But there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. The scripture says, in his own body he bore Romans 8. And now Romans 8 says, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that lovely? No condemnation, free. You know, we think somebody that is sentenced to prison for 5, 10, 20 years, maybe a lifetime, boy, that's a bad sentence. But it doesn't even compare to the sentence that was against us before Christ. It is an eternal damnation, judgment from God. But in Christ, by faith, we've been set free from that. Isn't that glorious? He took that handwriting of ordinances that was against us and he nailed it to his cross. We're set free from the penalty of sin. We're set free from the power of sin. The scripture says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And the Apostle John spoke of the victory won by, read it in the epistles of John, the victories that were being won by those who live for Christ. Peter spoke, he said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it's pretty neat, isn't it, to not be compelled by our sinful nature to do what we ought not to do. It's kind of like the garden, isn't it? I mean, we were created specifically. The psalmist talked about how we were formed in the womb, that God created us in secret, even to the giving us of our personalities for his purposes. And then he brings us out into the open like for the artist or a sculptor who's created a masterpiece in private and then brings it out for the viewing. He brings us out into the world and we have been created unto good works as Christians. And what's really cool is we've been made in the image of God. Made for fellowship. Made to be exact channels for his grace, for his creative abilities. You want to see how creative God is? Just go out in nature. Look at the little bugs crawling around on the ground and flying through the air and their wings, and look at the grass growing and how the different types of trees. And God is wonderfully creative, but look around to the person seated next to you. Everybody's different. Wonderfully created as God would have you to be created. We're freed from the power of sin and we're freed from the presence of sin. Because sin is being dominated, it is being expelled from our lives. That which would plug the channels of God's blessings is removed. And you are now free for the Holy Spirit to work in your mind and heart and create and be the person you ought to be in conversation, at work, at home, wherever you are. Wondrously free. Well, free from the penalty of sin, the presence of sin, and the power of sin. I've been laying down some good stuff. You getting it? Okay. Just make sure. Ready for another plane ride? Let's jump back into that aircraft and go back to the Garden of Eden. Ready? Okay, bad news. This time, we have to jump outside of the Garden of Eden. We're not going to land in the garden this time. Okay, the light's on, out you go. And as we land, we see Adam and Eve toiling in the sun, working hard. She's cooking and making clothes and maybe taking care of babies and working in the house and whatever she was doing, I don't know. maybe making medicines, I don't know. And Adam is busy cultivating ground and planting seeds and cutting weeds and swatting flies. And we say, hey, can we talk to you for a minute? And sure, but let's go over here, sit under the shade tree. It's so hot here. So we sit there with Adam and Eve talking. And we ask them, what do you miss the most about the life in the garden? You get that question? What do you miss most about the life in the garden? Now, I want you to think about that. Don't answer. What do you think it'd be? Do you think they would be saying, I really miss food everywhere. I didn't have to work for it. And Eve says, I miss not being sick. I miss not having sick kids. Adam is the worst patient. Do you think they would say, I miss that really clean water that flowed through the garden? Oh, you could take a bath in it and just drink upstream and just, oh, it was so good. This water has a sulfur taste. Do you think they'd say, I miss petting lions? And now they want to eat me. Okay, I'm going to give you a clue to what I think Adam and Eve would answer. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Jesus and his group had come to visit, and Martha began preparations for the entertainment, maybe fixing food, straightening up, whatever. There was much, much to do. And she realized she was working alone, and so she went looking for her sister and found Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word he had to say. And she said, Jesus, tell my sister to come help me. Remember Jesus' answer? He said, Martha, you are concerned about, this is a paraphrase, about many things, but Mary has chosen the most important. So I think if we were to ask Adam and Eve on the other side of Eden now, they can't go back home. I think if you were to ask them, what is the most important thing that you miss about the garden? They would say, the presence of God. The scripture talks about when they fell, how they recognized the presence of God moving through the garden. You know, I think their practice before that was as they were walking along, they would sense the presence of God coming, and they would just run out into the open like children running to meet their parents at the end of a day of work. Where is God? And they could sit down and God could say, did you notice that philodendron over there? And they would just pause and look into the eyes, as it were, of God and say, you are so awesome. And they would say, God has been protecting us and he's provided for everything we ever needed. There was never a word of condemnation. We had peace like a river. I could sing that for you, but you know I won't. I think that's what they would miss. But you know, when I think about that, I think That sounds an awful lot like our Christian life today, doesn't it? We still experience the curse upon the earth. I farm for a living, and there are weeds every year that grow up. Every year, the weather is not exactly the best for farming, it seems like. Every year, there's hot days, and we still experience the curse of sin upon the earth, but we as believers are being set free from the curse of the garden in our own lives as we seek the presence of God, as we enjoy the liberties that Christ has set us free. If the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I think that presence of the Lord, remember how the Holy Spirit moves in your heart and how that feels. When you draw near to God and He draws near to you, you know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You know. In His presence are joys evermore. Okay, let's make the final turn here. In our lives as Christians, we become so busy with ministries, with administrations, with work, with family care, our job, so you name it, and it's all good. I'm not saying one critical word about that. It's all good and it's all necessary. But the most important thing is the most important thing. The scriptures encourage us and command us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. So I think as we move into 2019, it would be good for us to remember that. Make sure we're to maybe make some adjustments in our lives as needed to make sure we're seeking after God. We're doing the most important thing, seeking after the Lord, walking with Him. It always blew me away to read what God said to Abraham. He said, I'm God Almighty, walk with me and be upright. And that's the same command for you and for me. We are invited to walk with God. Now, it may be somebody here realizes you're missing out. You do not experience this walking with God. You don't experience this liberties that with which Christ has set us free. You haven't had the experience of being born again. Well, good news for you. You can repent of your sin, turn away from it, and accept by faith God's free gift of salvation. Let's pray. And what a great way that would be to start 2019. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truths of the Word of God, how they change our lives and we build our lives on them. May this church be known as a church that seeks the Lord, that praises the Lord. And I pray for those here that may not have yet trusted Christ, that this would be the day they would make that choice. In Jesus' name, amen.